this rather warm Lord's Day, let's turn in our red books to hymn number 514, first, second, and last verses of We're Marching to Zion as we stand and sing. Church and Stuart. His son has been extremely sick for over a week. He has been throwing up, and they've done many treatments. Hasn't helped much. He is still vomiting, and he's lost 10 pounds. He weighs 38 pounds right now. And so I talked to Brother Clint last night. This morning they're going to be doing, they probably already have done, endoscopy. Also gone down his throat, and they're trying to find out why there is blood. Blood is coming up in his urine and in his vomit and that type of thing. So he's only 4 years old. So you be sure and hold him before the Lord in prayer. And I told him we'd be praying for them. This is a hard time on a young couple. And so please pray for them. And Brother and Sister Cox got in touch with us. Let us know they were going to be at Andy Penn this morning. Their son Brad or Bradford was having tests today. I do not know the details on that, but just continue to pray for them. That's why they're not here today. So let's pray for those needs. Any prayer requests out in the congregation? Anyone? Brother Henson, singing Henson family. Brother Henson, according to what my wife saw on Facebook, is in the hospital. So pray for him. He comes in the area and sings. I don't know if he comes into the Danville area. They come up to Martinsville area two or three times a year. And so pray for Brother Henson, Evangelist Roger Henson. Anyone else out here today? Physical needs. Thank the Lord. Sorry she had to miss last Sunday night, but thank God that came out good so far. So let's keep praying for that need. Anyone else? unspoken request, raised hand. God knows all about it. All right. Brother Bill, lead us in prayer, please. Requires us.
Thank you.
fine. Let's take our red books. Let's turn to hymn number 485. This will be our fellowship song. The song is Revive Us Again. So we'll sing the first and the second, and we'll fellowship and come back on the last as we stand and sing 485. Second, we're going to receive our jug offering for the building fund. I hope our young people can help us. Hope you've got some money to share, so reach deep. Okay? While you're doing that, if you missed Sunday school, you missed a good time. We had a good time in the Lord. Played some games. The only problem was we got some people got big head issues.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to close it, though.
Good idea.
We're going to close it.
going to have a vote of confidence for these people that talk about the preachers, and we're going to kick them out the door. Brother Julius, amen. And so, but I appreciate Jason taking care of that and bringing that, and that's, you learn some things.
That's right.
And that's a good thing to do, to learn. That's why you're in Sunday school. That's why they talk about it, school on Sunday. So it's good to learn. So I appreciate that. Appreciate him bringing that. Maybe he'll bring another sometime. And what other did you, have you done any more besides the Family Feud one? How do you do Wheel of Fortune?
Very carefully.
You have a spinner on the, really? Oh, cool. Interesting. Now I am technically challenged. All right, that was good. All right, while you're getting your offering ready, also, I'm going to read a thank you note. It says, Dear Church, we thank you so much for the money to help make our trip to camp meeting. So wish you could have been there with us. We had a wonderful, safe trip. Thanks so much, Teresa, Buddy, Nancy, and Julia. So I'm glad they were able to go to the camp meeting where Brother Poobie was honored, and I know you've got some pictures on Facebook. And,
haven't run them off yet.
Yeah, she's working on that, so you'll be able to see those pictures. So that's a blessing. All right, let's see what we can do today.
Caleb says, hold on. He said, hold on.
Since by grace he lifted me from sin and woe. Living grace he has extended, as on him my heart depended. And he'll give new grace when it's my time to go. Grace not yet discovered, grace not yet uncovered, grace from his bountiful store. Grace to cross the river, grace to face forever there be new grace I've not needed before. There's been grace for every trial, there's been grace for every mile. There's been grace sufficient from His vast supply. Grace to make my heart more tender, grace to love and pray for sinners. But there'll be new grace when it's my time to die. Grace not yet discovered, grace not yet uncovered, grace from His bountiful store. Grace to cross the river, grace to face forever, there'll be new grace I've not needed before. Grace to cross the river, grace to face forever, there'll be new grace I've not needed before.
All right, thank you, sister, for that good song. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 18. All right, while you're turning there tonight, we're going to go ahead and meet in the fellowship hall for our evening service. And I tell you, I don't know about you, but yesterday was a rough day heat-wise. Our air conditioner ran all day, and the temperature still went up in our house. And today is supposed to be just as bad. I saw it's supposed to be 102 in Danville today with an index factor of at least 105. So we'll go ahead and meet in the air-conditioned fellowship hall. And then if you missed our get-together Wednesday night, you missed a good time. Some good fellowship, good food, and just good time. And the church surprised Sister Moore and gave her a cake for her birthday. Her birthday is tomorrow. And so we still got cake and we still got homemade ice cream. So while we're having service, we're not going to wait till after service. While we're having service, we'll let you have some refreshments tonight while we're having our preaching service this evening. So keep that in mind, please. So we'll get there, pray, get your refreshments. You can eat. We'll have our service and preaching and all that good stuff. And we'll be able to get on home and hopefully cool down some. So remember that tonight, 5 o'clock this afternoon, okay? All right, chapter 18 of the book of Genesis. Getting down to the brass tacks, getting down to the wire. Abraham and Sarah. Sarah, her name has been changed at this time, as we saw last week. Her name is no longer Sarai, which means contentious or bitter. Now her name has been changed to Sarah, which means princess. And you know, the Lord can change people. Did you know that? People can be bitter, hateful, but then God's grace will change them and make them sweet and pleasant. And what a difference that is. You remember Naomi in the book of Ruth. Naomi said, "Do not call me Naomi anymore, which means my pleasant one. Call me Mara, which means bitter." That's what happens because she got out of the will of God. Went to the land that her husband took her and the family to, in the land of Moab. And so when you're out of the will of God, it can take you from being pleasant to being bitter. So, very important things that we see in the Word of God. Well, chapter 18, I'm going to show you something that we're going to read the first 15 verses and then show you some things here you may have never seen before in the life of Sarah. Verse 1, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, And lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened unto the tent unto Sarah and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal. Knead it and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto the young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it came to pass with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure in my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a certainty bear a child which am old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts. Teach us from your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now there are two things, if I may use this terminology, there are two religious thoughts represented in this chapter that I want to think about this morning. These are not religious thoughts that are complicated or something you've never heard of. It's two things. And it represents an entire ideology of the world, and that is this. Number one is the word naturalism. Number two is the word supernaturalism. And it's very plain, and I'm going to show it to you in just a few moments. But before I actually get into it, I want us to look just for a few minutes at something that maybe you've never paid attention to in God's Word before. Now, last week we finished up in chapter number 19, and we saw that Abraham, as his name was changed, is now 99 years old, and she is 89. And so the promise was given many years prior. You remember that in Hagar's situation, Sarah decided that she was going to give Hagar unto Abraham to have a seed. Now you say, well, if God promised this promise, why did she take her step and do what she did? You're going to see in this chapter why she did. Okay, we are hard on Sarah, and perhaps maybe we're too hard on Sarah. But I'm going to show you why Sarah did what she did back over in, well, not only in the, I think it's the 16th chapter, but also something like 13 years prior when Hagar was born, when Hagar delivered Ishmael. Okay. Now in this story, three visitors come to see Abraham. Now if you don't know who these visitors are, these are angels. Angels, when they made appearances in the Bible, they did not always, if ever, show up with wings, halos, harps, and all of that. The Bible says that number one, they came in the guise of men. I've never seen any place in the Bible, no offense ladies, I've never seen any place in the Bible where an angel was ever a woman. Okay? But when they showed up as men, they dressed as men, and they didn't do a, you know, except for maybe some, that's an interesting story. If you want to read sometime, it's interesting, the idea of what we have. For instance, we see little fat babies with little wings and Cupid arrows and that type of thing. That's not biblical. That's not scriptural. You'd be surprised if you'd see and read in the Bible what angels are like actually in the Bible. Not all angels, from what I've studied, not all angels even have wings. Certain angels have wings, and certain perhaps did not have wings. But anyway, that's a different story. But here you have three men that have shown up. They are angelic visitors, and they're here to deliver a message. That's interesting, too, because this is not their final stopping ground. They've got someplace else they've got to go. And if the 19th chapter of Genesis means anything to you, that'll tell you where they went when they left Abraham. And we'll be dealing with that soon. But here it says he lifted up his eyes in verse 2 and he sees the three visitors. And he runs to them and he greets them. And he offers them hospitality. Now that was very important back in that day. If you did not share hospitality, it would be the same thing as going up to somebody and either ignoring them or slapping them in the face. For instance, when you read your gospel accounts, keep this in mind. When you read your gospel accounts, understand that you will read places where Jesus went into homes of people that did not receive him with hospitality. When you came into a home, whether in Old Testament or New Testament times, when you came in the door, first thing that you were to be done by your host was to be kissed. Remember where the Bible says, kiss one another with a holy kiss? And so they would come and kiss maybe the cheeks. The host, the man, would kiss the other man that came in on the cheeks. I wasn't homosexual or anything like that. It was just the fact of a greeting of the culture of the time. And so a second thing would happen is they would wash their feet. Okay? And if neither one of those things were done, if a man was in another man's house and was not greeted with a holy kiss, and if his feet were not washed, that was an insult. That was as if you had just ignored them, cussed them out, slapped them in the face, that type of thing. Well, this is what happens here. He makes Abraham and sees these three men, and he invites them in, and he gives them all kinds of hospitality, and he talks about giving them water and food, and even goes out to have an animal killed so that they can have a feast, to just show a welcome to these particular men. Okay. In verse 6, he goes to Sarah, and he says, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And then he goes and he gets the calf in verse 7, and the servant goes and gets butter and milk and the calf and all like that to get it fixed. And then as they are conversing in verse number 9, they, talking about the three men, the three angels, the three angelic messengers, said unto Abraham, where is Sarah thy wife? Now, do you know how unusual that is? Because again, not being disrespectful, ladies, but again, they're talking to the husband. Usually the women had other things that they had to do. And so, but they specifically said, where is Sarah, thy wife? And they're outside, probably under a large canopy. And they're going through the things of conversations and generalities and all of that sort of thing. And all of a sudden, the men spoke up, where's Sarah, thy wife? And I guess he was startled by this statement. And he said, well, she's in the tent. Now, where was she? She was hiding just within the doorway, the flap of the entrance of the tent. Remember that the tent was probably very large. I would think probably the tent, when these were nomadic people, and they lived in their tents, and their tents could probably be easily the size of 1/4 of this auditorium. It wasn't a little tent. It was a large, rather large place, and that's where they'd put their tent up, and that's where they'd stay for whatever period of time until Abraham said, let's go. Well, she's just on the inside, and obviously I don't think even Abraham saw this. I don't think he even knew where she was. But she was hiding out because she wanted to hear what was going on in this conversation. All right? And here's what they... Now, they move on, and they say in verse 10, and he said, okay, this angel of the Lord is given a message from God and said this, I will certainly. I want you to look at those words. I will certainly, most assuredly, definitely, without any shadow of doubt, I will certainly return unto thee. twin, according to the time of life. In other words, once there is conception that takes place within Sarah, 9 months later there will be a birth. He said, I will return unto you from the time of your conception until the time of your delivery, the delivery of Sarah. This will happen. Now this is very important, because he goes on to say, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son, not Hagar, and the son is not Ishmael. Sarah's going to have a son. Now notice in verse 10 this, and Sarah heard it in the tent door, and which was behind him. She's listening. Remember what I told her? She's hiding out behind that tent door listening. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in years. We determined the last chapter, he's 99, she's 89. And it ceased to be Sarah with Sarah after the manner of women. Okay. She is no longer physically able to bear a child. She knew that 13 years ago, and that's why she said to Abraham, take Hagar and bring her into your tent, because I'm too old and I can't bear children. Now, if she felt that way 13 years ago, what must she feel now at 99 years of age? Okay. Now, what did Sarah do? What was her reaction? Be careful. Look at this. Verse 12, therefore Sarah laughed, notice this, within herself. I've heard preachers get up and say that Sarah just had a belly flop in the back and just laughing her brains out. That's not what it said. Sarah laughed within herself. I don't know if she may have chuckled lightly, but in her heart she was having a time, because she says, I can't do this. I am too old. I am past childbearing years, and this is impossible. Sarah laughed within herself, saying, she didn't tell them that, she told herself this in her heart perhaps, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? The pleasures of a physical relationship, she said, it's over. I can't do it anymore. Excuse my plainness of speech. My old man can't do it anymore. And it's just no pleasure. There's no joy. There's nothing to it. We're past that stage. Okay? Now that's important. Now, you say, well, how do you know she didn't say it? Because look at verse 13. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And the indication is that as you look at the passage, Abraham has absolutely no idea what's going on. Why? Because God is omniscient. God knows everything. And God knew the secret things in the heart of Sarah. And so Sarah must have been shocked when she heard that angel saying what she had said under her breath. You say, well, preacher, what's the purpose of all this? The purpose of all this is this, that if you'll think about it and go back and study all the chapters that we've been going through, Sarah was never present the first time when God spoke to Abraham. Everything was secondhand knowledge till now. For all these years, he came and said, God said. And that brings me back to what I said. Two religious thoughts permeate the world today. Really, just two. Number one, I said, was naturalism. Naturalism is here because she says, I'm 89 years old. I'm past childbearing years. My husband and I do not have physical pleasure anymore. We are too old. And you're going to tell me, and you told me several years ago that this was going to happen. And you told me this, Abraham. And Abraham, it's not possible. It can't happen. It's not going to happen. My body is shot. I can't do this. I can't physically conceive. It is past the time of childbearing. And he said it two different times in this passage. Verse 10, verse 14. Talks about the fact of the promise. Naturally speaking, it is impossible. If we were to go, let's say we went to Riverside Nursing Home. Let's say we asked questions and said, who's the oldest woman in this facility. Let's say they found somebody that was 80 years old. That's the oldest person in that facility. Let's just say that. And we go up to her and we find out her name is, Henrietta. We go up to Henrietta and we have a message from the Lord. Henrietta, her eyes may sparkle and she say, "Really, what is it?" "You're going to have a baby." This little old lady in the wheelchair looks at you and says, "Uh-uh." She'd probably look at you and say, "What kind of nut are you? What are you trying to say? Orderly, get this crazy person away from me." Because that's, and rightfully so. Because that is the position of naturalism. Naturalism works within the realm of nature. What is naturalism? Naturalism is people who say that perhaps this world came into being because it just happened and it exploded. There was a Big Bang theory and all of these types of things. So they say, well, that's a natural occurrence. Okay? Naturalism is that a person is born into this world, lives his life, does his own thing, makes his own way, strives for himself and for his family if he has one. If he has a family, great. If he doesn't have one, that's fine. And then if a person has, separates and divorces, well, that's fine too. People just maybe can't get along together, so you just go on your way. Or now, unfortunately, sadly, people are now saying that homosexuality is now the way of naturalism. And you're born that way. And because you're born that way, that's the way you're going to be. And you have no control over that. This is becoming a position of naturalism. Okay? Because it's just like whatever happens, happens. Whatever will be, or whatever. They don't call that Bible providence. They don't call that predestination. They just say, that's the way it's going to be. And that's just it. That's naturalism. That's looking at everything from a natural standpoint. Well, that's what she was looking at. That's what she's been looking at for years. She says, "I don't know where this crazy old man Abraham got these ideas from. I don't know if he was smoking pot or drinking a lot of wine, but for whatever reason, I'm going to humor this old man. But finally, when it comes down to it, there's got to be a visitation from the Lord." And the Lord comes, and even though she is not directly involved, she is directly involved. She's not out there with the angels and with Abraham. She's right behind that tent door. And whether or not Abraham knew it doesn't matter, but those angels knew she was there. And they said, "Lady, you've got to come to grips with something. You are 89 years old and you're going to bear a child." And she laughed. That's naturalism, because you laugh at things that seem to be far out. Okay. Now I want to ask you a question. This is going to lead us into supernaturalism. Has God told you anything? Maybe not verbally, but has God told you something through that Bible that you hold in your hand, and God's promised you something in that Bible, and God's told you this is going to happen, and you've laughed at it? You say, "Well, I don't laugh at stuff like that." No, come on. Let's make it simple. Let's make it real simple. You got a letter in the mail, and you have a bill due, big bill, unexpected bill, a bill that you have no way to pay. Naturalism says you can't pay it. How you gonna pay it? You can go to the bank, get a loan. You can get a second or third job. You can fill in the blank. Borrow it from a relative or a friend and promise to pay him back the first time that you get a chance. That's naturalism. What's supernaturalism? Supernaturalism is when you believe God. Hear me? Do you believe God? Huh? Every one of you sit there and say you do. But do you? What did we preach on last week? Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Supernaturalism tells you to stand on something that cannot be stood upon. When Peter walked on the water, tell me that was natural. When Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed over 5,000, tell me that was natural. When Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus and said, roll the stone away, and said, Lazarus, come forth, and Lazarus came forth and resurrected from there, tell me that was natural. Tell me when Jesus was crucified, and they laid him in that tomb, and they set that stone, and 3 days and 3 nights later, those angels, for all we know, they might have been the same angels right here in this passage, and came and rolled the stone away, and Jesus walked out. Tell me that was natural. We live in a natural age, but we live as Christians with a supernatural mentality and ability. Now, some of y'all need to wake up today. God bless you. Some of you go to bed early on Saturday night or something. Some of y'all sleep too much. You need to hear this Bible. You need to hear the Word of God. We're living in a day in which there is naturalism, but God wants us to live by supernatural resources, and some of us go through a period of time in which it looks like in our lives we wonder, how am I going to get out of one situation and go to another? Did you ever think God put you in a situation to show you supernaturalism? Did it ever dawn on you that God may have shown you a situation where He wants to show you that God can do what God wants to do, when He wants to do it, the way He wants to do it, and He wants to show it to you? We get very bothered by the same thing when we have prayer requests. You know what our prayer requests are always boiled down to? About 3 categories. Lost people, finances, help. Basically, that's 3 categories. Is there anything beyond those 3 things to pray about? Absolutely. But we get stuck in those. Why do we get stuck in those same 3 categories? Because God's trying to teach us supernaturalism. And the reason He's teaching us supernaturalism is because He's showing us in verse number 14. Look what it says. Look at it. Look at it. Look at it. Look at it. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now you'll answer that, you'll say every time, no. Every time you'll say it. But when it gets right down to where the rubber meets the road, you start saying, yeah, there's a lot God can't do. But I believe God can. Yes, I believe it too. As long as it's happening to you and not to me. God ever put you in a situation where you had to test supernaturalism? Just like I said, what happens when that, you're saying, man, I did not expect this bill. This bill came, what am I going to do? I'm going to tell you, I don't have the money. And God's saying, I'm waiting. For what? Praying. God, I'm in a situation. I can't get out of it. I can't do anything about it. I'm 99 years of age, going to have a baby, and I can't do it because I'm 99. See the idea? I got a bill. I can't pay it. I don't have the money. I'm strapped. What am I going to do? God will have to show you what to do. God will have to help you with that particular thing, because God is not tied down by naturalism. You may get a letter in the mail and somebody said, you know, God laid on my heart to send this to you. ever had that happen? How many people have ever had something come in the mail that helped meet a need for you? Come on. No, none of you have? Yeah. How many have maybe somebody came up to you in a church, in a store, out of nowhere, and they slipped money in your hand? Have you ever gotten a letter in the mail in which somebody, you, maybe a company that you work with or something, sends you, oh, you overpaid your bill. And they send you a refund. And you're thinking, wow, how did that happen? Because God went behind the scenes and did something supernatural. What's the odds of somebody doing a refund for you at the time you needed that money? God. But do you know what the natural man says? The natural man worries. It's just as natural, just as human to worry. And then what do I do with those verses that say, I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread? Yeah, that's good for everybody else. But what about me? I have not seen his seed. Physical seed, spiritual seed. Jew, Gentile.
Bible talks about three ethnic groups in the Bible: Jews, Gentiles, and the Church of God. Those are the only three groups out there. And God says, I will meet the need. Why? Because I'm a supernatural God. And you must understand that. Now, let me show you three statements quickly. Let me show you the first one. Verse 12, Sarah laughed. Look at verse 15. Sarah denied. Third one, back up chapter 15. Look at chapter 15, Genesis. Look at verse 6. And he believed. You know who he is? Abraham. Sarah laughed. Sarah denied. Abraham believed. You know how she came to the place of belief? Because she had trusted God's word. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by, and hearing by the. Brother Julius DeWeek, did we get anything on Robbie Zacharias, or are you putting, is this program on our station and all? How many did you get? Three? We're trying for three, I think. I saw something this week on We Have Direct TV, and they have a station on there called NRB, and that's called the National Religious Broadcasters. And I saw a program on there last week for Robbie Zacharias, and it was late at night, and I taped it, and then I watched it, and that thing was fascinating. There was a Christian, born-again, Bible-believing scientist, and he and Robbie Zacharias were talking to the student body of Georgia Tech, which I understand is one of his favorite places to go and make discussions. And so they were talking about some of the things that I'm talking about now as far as supernaturalism and a naturalism. And they, at the end, they would have students. Well, anybody wanted to, but students especially. They got up and they asked questions in a forum one at a time. And then Dr. Zacharias and this other doctor, I forget his name. But anyway, they would get up and they would intermittently discuss these questions. And I'm listening to some of the questions. And one of the questions one of the young men talked about was, you know, how can you justify human suffering in the world and say there's a God? I mean, you think about it. In reality, that is a legitimate question. You have people who are Christians, and they die of serious disease.
And oftentimes they're not older. Okay? What do you say? What do you say when there are people over in India that do not have food to eat? I read a little story of a woman who went to India, and there was a little boy that was her constant companion every day that she was in India. And the reason that she let him be her constant companion was because her mother's profession was that of a prostitute. And he was born as the result of a relationship as her as a prostitute and a customer. And during the day, that was her job, to be a prostitute. And that little boy stayed with this American woman. She said, he would hold my hand and not let me go. Until finally I had to go back to my room and do whatever I had to do as far as my business was related. And she said, I'd get in the taxi, and she said, I would see him and he'd wave at me, and then I'd see him go back. And she says, I wonder what kind of night he had. She said, what do you do when the children have no place else to play but in the middle of what we used to call the old word a brothel? Those conditions are in the world. I understand that Atlanta, Georgia, of all places, is supposed to be one of the worst places for those types of sexual sins in America. Can you imagine that? Y'all pass through Atlanta, Georgia. You wouldn't think a place like Atlanta, Georgia would be one of the top sex interchanging places in the country. What do you say when someone in the world looks at you and says, how can God be around when you see the suffering and the anxiety and the heartbreak and the heartache? I have no answer for the physical world, but I can give you a supernatural answer that there is a balm in Gilead that can wash a sinner and make them through the blood of Christ as white as snow. I can't tell you anything about how to change prostitute brothels. I can't tell you how to do anything about all that trash, teenage piracy, where students are kidnapped at bus stops and used to make money for their, if you will, their pimps. I don't know how to answer that question, but I can take that same prostitute and I can tell her there is a fountain full of blood that will wash away their sins and make them white as snow. That's supernaturalism. Naturalism takes you into the world and the world will have its way with you, but supernaturalism is where God will come in and take an 89-year-old woman and give her a child that's going to change the world. That's God. Now, if God can do that in this story, what can God do for you? You better trade out your naturalism and you start better standing on those promises we talked about last week. Why? She laughed. She denied she laughed. Abraham believed. Next time you're ready to laugh and get discouraged, we all do, and I'm not saying we don't, because we do. But that's when you got to get in that book. 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 Can I ask you a question? How often do you get in that book? I'm not asking you to answer me, but I am asking you to ask yourself, how often do you get in that book? Because the more you get in that book, the more you got to battle the area of supernaturalism. And the less you get in that book, guess what you hear all around you? Naturalism. Huh? What gets in you more, the world or the Word? You know, the average Christian, they're in the world a whole lot more than they are the Word. Let me close with this thought. You know what? America's in rough shape, no doubt about it. We saw, maybe some of y'all saw on the internet where there was a man, I don't know the details about it, haven't researched it, a man was holding a prayer meeting in his home, Bible study in his home, was arrested in the United States of America for having a Bible study in his home. What's wrong with that picture? Everywhere you look, naturalism, 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 naturalism. Understand that naturalism is an enemy to supernaturalism. This world hates God. This world hates you and me. You and I are attacked, persecuted, maligned by naturalism because we believe in God. You say, preacher, there are times where I think God can't help me. Well, did you laugh like Sarah? Then God showed you in the Word that you were wrong and you denied it and said, no, I didn't laugh. I really didn't, you know. But we got to be like Abraham. We've got to believe God. How do you believe it? Lord, you see it. See. God ever give you the money to pay a bill and then you realize you hadn't tithed on it? And then you say, what do I do, Lord? Do I tithe? Because if I tithe, I won't have enough money to pay the bill. Okay. I got to take you at your word, Lord. See, that's naturalism versus supernaturalism. I got to believe you, Lord. I'm going to try to do right. I'm going to try to honor your word. And I'm going to trust you to take care of whatever this is. However mammoth it is, however big it is, however great it is, I have to believe you're going to take care of it. Why? Because you believe in a supernatural God. Did it happen here? Did she think it was going to happen? She laughed. She denied. He believed. Yep, it happened, didn't it? Isaac, Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel. See? Came out of what? An 89-year-old woman. It's a supernatural book. God, give us grace and strength to trust the supernatural grace of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. I pray that you'll help us to understand that in the life of Abraham and Sarah, when they were nearly 100 years of age, you wrought a powerful supernatural miracle at which we marvel. And we believe it, and we believe it was possible in the opening chapters of Genesis, but it sure does give us a time sometimes right here and now. Help us to trust you. Give us grace to trust you. Give us strength to understand you are a supernatural God and there is none other than you. And I pray, God, you'll help us. Bless your people. If there's anybody lost without Christ, may they believe upon Christ for salvation. If there are Christians here who are struggling with trusting you, I pray that you give them grace and strength. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Buddy? As we stand, the altar is open. You come. about eyes closed, sister. Lay, please. Are you willing to take God at His word? Is there something going on in your own private, personal life today where you've just got to let this thing go and say, God, I'm going to lean on You. Worrying isn't doing me any good. I got to give it to You. You are a supernatural God, and I am trying to judge everything naturally. Maybe you need to come today and talk to the Lord for a few minutes and say, God, I'm letting go and letting God do it. So, I want you to come and talk to Him about that. Leave it, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you, is what Peter said about it. You know that? Because what we do, we forget, we leave it at the altar, then we get ready to go. We pick it back up and take it back with us. We've got to leave it there. We have a supernatural God. We've got to leave it in His hands. We have to. We have no choice. Once you cross that line, once you do like Abraham did, leave Ur of the Chaldees, man, it's just you and God. That's all there is. That's all there is. It's you and God. Nobody else. Once you take that first step, that's it. You're done. Cross the line. Now you've got to trust Him. Whole step of the journey, you've got to trust Him. Abraham did not just step out. He had stepped out for several years. And guess what? It wasn't that easy from the time he left Ur of the Chaldees until that time he's 90 years of age. It still wasn't easy. It's part of that faith process, that faith journey. It's tough, boy, it's tough. Give it to God. Leave it with Him. Get your hands off of it. Give it to Him. More verse, and I'll close the invitation. Julius and Brother Bill, if you'll come receive the Lord's tithes and offerings, please, at this time. Brother Buddy said there will be no choir practice, correct, sir? No choir practice after church this morning. 5 o'clock, fellowship hall, cake and homemade ice cream. We'll take care of that. First get there, and then you can eat and enjoy and fellowship a little bit, and then we'll have the service and still get out at a good time, so remember that. Any other announcements on what we've already said? All right, Brother Jude, just pray for the offering. Brother Bill's got something to take care of. Church. Appreciate that very much. All right. Lord bless you. Have a good afternoon. We'll see you at 5 o'clock.